Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Pray with me. Father God, thank you for showing your power, your majesty, your glory, your divinity through your Son, Jesus. And what a powerful name it is to call on the name of Jesus. And not just call on the name of Jesus, but let Jesus live through us. We have the power in us to do what you've called us to do. The vision that comes from you, God, we are capable of doing if it wasn't for you, Father. You have given us a vision, so if you give us something to do, we are capable of doing it, Father. In your name, in the name of the Jesus, in the name of the power of the Spirit, Father, you have given us. And I pray and I claim that right now for this church, for these people. But Father, we have to believe it within ourselves that we are capable of this. Because if we don't believe it, Father, we will walk in fear. We will walk in doubt. We will walk in intimidation. But we have to believe that we can accomplish all that you've called us to accomplish, no matter what the hurdles, no matter what the obstacles. So Father, thank you for the mission of the Fountain. Thank you for the vision that you've given us, and help us be committed to that, Father. In the power and the blood of the name of Jesus, we agree to do that. And everybody said together, amen. All right, you may be seated. Yes. Thank you for that amazing offering of worship. Last week, we started a two-week series on vision and mission. Last week, it was about the sight of the heart. When God gives us vision, He doesn't give it here first. He gives it here first. He gives us something that touches our heart. And then what we have to do is we have to put our mind to it, and we have to put our thoughts to it. What does the Word say? Does this line up with Scripture? Does this line up with the Word of God? And when we partner those two together, we know what He's given us here, because we've checked His Word out and we've talked about it. We know that this is what He's called us to do. So last week was about our vision is to reach families where they are, inside the church and outside the church. Not just here in your comfortable blue seat, not just here when we come on Wednesday night, not just here when we get in our little studies and our little groups, but outside the church is our primary place of ministry. Everything we do is going to be connected to reaching families in 2018, meeting them where they are and bringing them along as the Spirit prompts and as the Spirit empowers. The vehicle, though, in which we will do this vision is through our mission. And our mission, and I hope that some of you went, when I called on it last week, nobody raised their hand and said they could quote the mission, unless you were really just stage fright or something like that. But last week we said the mission for the Fountain is to connect with God, to mature in Christ, and to engage the world in His name. Not in my name, not in your name, but in Jesus' name. So how do we do that? We have to leave the 99 and we have to go. We have to go after the one. We have to leave our comfortable blue seats. We have to leave our comfortable homes. We have to leave our comfortable various groups, whatever they may be, and by the prompting of the Spirit, reach out to those saved but have wandered away from the flock and bring them back. And as Scripture says, let's rejoice together because they have been found again, right? And we also have to reach out to the lost who have never known Jesus, accept them where they are, not say you have to be like me, not say you have to dress like this, not say you have to speak like this, not say that you have to get rid of all your faults, all your sin to be like me, to come here. No, we accept them where they are because we are all sinners. No one is exempt, right? Is anybody exempt from sin in here? Raise your hand. Nobody's exempt from falling into sin. We all have a tendency and a bent towards that because we all have selfish desires. So we meet people where they are. We say, come join us. Let me show you Jesus, because I'm not going to change you. By the power of the Spirit, He's going to change you. And He's going to make you more like Jesus. So this brings us to today's message. This message for all those called to not take up a seat and get in the game, to get with the program, to get on board with the vision and the mission of the Fountain, and do what we are called to do. So I guess today is a crossroads for you. and me. Because you have to decide real soon that you're going to be on board or you're not going to be on board. Because if we don't have everybody on board, then we all can't go the same direction. So today, I guess, is a challenge for you to decide. To decide right now, this day, what you're going to do. What you're called to do. This message is for you and it's for me. This brings us to a message about taking every step in obedience. When the Spirit says move, we will move. When the Spirit says go, we will go. When the Spirit says rest, we will rest. When the Spirit says wait, and I think this is the hardest one for all of us, we will wait. And I'd like to call today's message active patience. Active patience. We will always be about moving forward, not backwards. And don't misunderstand, when we retreat, when we rest, when we are still, that doesn't mean we are doing nothing. The Lord even tells us, be still and know that I am God. Be still and rest in me. When we are keeping in step with the Spirit of God, no matter what we are doing, we will be moving forward for the kingdom and in the kingdom. Even when we're sitting still and we're taking in with God, when we're trying to rest in God, because some of us need it, when we're trying to contemplate and be before we do, we are still moving forward. We will not get ahead of God. If we have to wait for an answer, a provision, a resource, a person to show up, we will worship while we wait. We will pray while we wait. We will serve while we wait. We will affirm and confirm God's word in us while we wait. We will disciple while we wait. Because these are the things God has already called us to. Every person in here who's a follower of Christ, he's called you to each and every one of those things. You never have to doubt that. That's his word and it's truth. But he gives us a passion and a vision that is birthed right in here when our hearts are connected with him, because that's where he looks, that's where he touches first. And then our vision is born out of what God gives us. We will live out what our core values will be here at the Fountain. We will not be double-minded. We will not be about the things that don't fit in the vision that God's given us. And that's probably the hardest part for some of us. In 2017, that was a very hard part for us, for a lot of us, for most of us. It was hard to not be about the things that we used to do that wasn't a part of the present vision. Because those are the things we were used to do. Those are the things we were comfortable in. But they may look different now. You see, the message doesn't change, but the method of getting the message, the method of giving the message has to change. And there's a statistic out, and a lot of books are saying it today. A lot of professionals, a lot of people who are a lot smarter than me are saying that if we are not willing to change the way that we reach the world, then we're going to die. That's for every church. And there are churches closing their doors every day. I talked to a friend recently who pastors in Tocoa, a little church in Tocoa. And you know, Tocoa is not that big. It's not that big. But he told me that there are 92 churches in Tocoa. 92. And that week that I was talking to him, he said three of them closed their doors. It's happening. If we don't take the vision that God's given us, church, not just the Fountain, but any church, and do what he's called us to do, our message doesn't change. But the way that we deliver a message, the packaging that we give our message, the way that we approach people, we have to change that. And if we don't, we can't do it the same way all the time. Therefore, we will be about the things we believe to be true and let them determine the way in which we interpret life. These things are called our core values. Core values are the lens or the eyes of our heart. Often the things we say we believe and the things we actually believe are not the same. We must understand that it is not the truths that we believe in our head that are our core values, but the ones that we believe in our hearts. You see, vision sees from the heart, not the eyes. The things we perceive to be true determine the way we respond to the world around us and to God who lives within us. Let me say that again. The things we perceive to be true, those core values, determine the way that we will respond to the world around us and to God as he lives within us. These core values also help define the part of the flock that we'll find ourselves called and attracted to. The children of Israel experienced this principle when they came to the promised land. You know the story. Joshua assigned land to them according to the tribes and divisions. In other words, they received land according to their division vision or their diverse vision. For instance, if they had a vision for farming, they probably did not go with Caleb to the mountain country, but instead were given land that best facilitated the vision that had been given, the best facilitated the gifts that they had been given. Therefore, the land they were given and their vision matched, complemented each other, went together. So therefore, you might want to think that if you're serving, if you're serving someplace that it's not technically your giftedness and you're struggling in there, you might want to say, I need to get on board with something that God's gifted me with. I'm helping. Sometimes we need people who have the gift of helps that just they you can call on them or whatever, and they'll do whatever. You just tell them what to do, and they'll do it. You need that stack of bricks moved? I can move that stack of bricks. I'll put it over here. Oh, you need it over there? Now I'll bring it over here. Those kind of people are the most obedient people. They don't have to know why they need to be moved. They just need to know that you need them. But see, a lot of us don't have that. And a lot of us say, well, why should I do that? Or what's in that for me? Or you know, the biggest thing is you want to determine how you serve instead, and you want to give it what you want to give it, or you want to do it how you want to do it instead of how the vision has planned for it to be done. True godly vision consists of foresight, insight, and oversight, and that come from His sight. Foresight is looking at life through a telescope. This outlook allows us to know what is ahead as it connects us to our future. Yesterday afternoon, you know, I had some time yesterday afternoon after the Falcons lost, and I was able to watch, I like to watch movies a little bit, and some of my favorite movies are Pirates of the Caribbean. So it was on Pirate, you know, it was on my wife's Netflix account. So I watched Pirates, Dead Man Tells No Tales. But you know, throughout all of them, on these ships, the only way that they can see the ships that are coming is if they pull out the telescope and they look through the telescope and they can see what's coming so they know how to prepare. Foresight is the element of vision that helps life make sense and gives us the motivation that we described earlier. So if I look in my telescope and I see that there is someone coming after me that's ready to take me down if I'm in this other ship, that's going to motivate me to respond to what's coming ahead and prepare. Insight, though, is like viewing life through a microscope. The perception gives us an understanding of why things happen in life. It also helps determine the underlying motivations of our heart or understanding why we do what we do. And for some of us, we need to know that. We're a person, like for me, I'm a person that likes to ask a lot of questions. My wife hates it. She just wants me to accept it a lot of times. And I say, babe, I got to process some, especially if it has to do with money. I've got to process this a little bit and say, can we do this? Or instead of just saying, oh, yes, babe, whatever you want. How many of you men are yes, ma'am, whatever you want? You do that. Uh-huh. Okay, how many of you wives just say, just do what I ask you to do? Raise your hand. Yeah, some of you do that. Some of you do that. And the older you get, though, and this is why it's kind of cool, the older you get, the more you know each other. So you know what the person's going to ask before they ask it, and you can get on board before they ask it. Oversight, though, puts life into context. It is like flying over your house in a helicopter. There is a perspective that we can only receive from this viewpoint that helps us understand where we are with respect to where everything else is. And this is important for us. And this is where churches fail a lot. Because a lot of times they come into a community and say, this is what I'm going to offer the community. This is what our church is going to do for the community. Instead of saying, we're moving in the community that needs this, so we're going to be this for the community. Or let's listen to the community and say, what do you think your greatest needs are? And saying, okay, we'll get on board with that. We want to open ourselves up to minister where they are, so then we have earned the right to tell them about Jesus that really is the solution to all their problems. But you see, sometimes we come in and we don't look at our demographics. We don't look at the people around us and say, what do they need? We just say, here's what we do. You can take it or leave it. You can like it or lump it. You know, that's what a lot of churches do. And they may not verbally say that, but you can tell that by their actions, because they say, this is what we're doing. We've done it every year, and we're going to keep doing it, and we'll just wait for people to come. They won't come. They'll stop coming. A vision from the Lord creates a mission from heaven. This is illustrated in the life of Moses when he went up on the mountain. He received a vision about the tabernacle and was told to construct it according to the pattern that he had received. And I don't know if you've ever read a lot of the Old Testament and those things. God was greatly attentive to detail. And the people, if they weren't attentive to the detail that he asked them to be attentive to, there was heavy prices to pay. From how long something was to the inch, to what color it was, to what it was made of. God was very specific about his vision and his purpose, and he wanted the people who were following him to be the same. Visions like this are just pipe dreams without some sort of administrative plan, though. God gives us a vision, now we got to work it out. We got to say, okay, how are we going to accomplish this? A lot of people have lofty ideas about things they would like to accomplish for God, but they seem to have no sense of how it's to be fulfilled. And some of us don't have that gift. You know, I don't have the gift of, I can, you know, some people can see a piece of property and they can walk on it and say, oh, I see this right here. And I see this right here. And I can see this happening right here. And this is what this is going to, like people who design their own houses, it's like, what? I have no idea. It's like, I just need a place to lie down. I just need a place. You know, some people go in and say, I can see my walls looking like this, and my walls looking like that. You come into my house, and there may be two pictures on the wall. You know, I like the plain wall. I don't have to change things. I don't, you know. There are more things more important to me, although I understand why people have those giftedness, and they see that. But the first part of accomplishing any vision is to take it from the unseen world and to bring it to the natural world or to the seen world. This can be accomplished by simply writing the vision down, but more than that, articulating the vision in such a way that other people grab on and they can see it as well. It brings the visible world or the invisible world to the visible so other people can capture it in their hearts too. And it's up to those who have captured the vision to help others capture the vision, because I can stand up here and talk till I'm blue in the face and some of you won't get it because I haven't said it the way that resonates with you. So guess what? So those of you who get it, it's your time, it's your turn to translate it or help others get it in their language, in their culture. So it's not just about me imparting the vision. It's about all of us helping each other impart the vision and getting on board with the vision. And this is where the active patience comes in. It will come, but most of the time, not all at once. Sometimes it comes in pieces. Like on a journey, it's not one leap on a journey. It's step after step after step on a journey. And sometimes the steps are, we have to get antiquated and used to the steps. It's like climbing a mountain. You know, I was talking about this in staff meeting this past week. I've got this picture, and it's, you know, I love Mount Everest and anything that's about Mount Everest and mountains like that. And I always look at it when I get stuck on stuff and say, God, okay, help me with this. Help me understand this. Help me get a process. Help me get this organized in my head. But in when I'm looking at Mount Everest, if you've never heard anything, Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world. And the further you go up, the less oxygen there is. So anybody who climbs Mount Everest, there's a base camp, which was on my bucket list, by the way. And if anybody wants to help me get the base camp, I would love that. Anyway, that's all I want to do. I don't want to go on the mountain. I just want to stand at the base of the mountain and look at it. Anyway, moving on. I digress. So going to base camp, they go to camp one. They trek. You know, from getting to base camp is about 14 days it takes to get just to base camp after you get there. So that's a trek in itself. But then from there, you wait, and then you go up to camp one. And after you get to camp one, you're there for a few days, and then you go to camp two. And then after camp two, you're there for a few days. Then you come back down to camp one. And then you go back to camp two for a few days. And then you do the same thing from there to camp three. And then back to camp two. And then back to camp three. And then there's a summit day from there. Why? Why is that? Because it's for everybody that's on Mount Everest, it takes time for your lungs to acclimate to the surroundings. And for some of us, it may take a little bit. But that doesn't mean it's not coming. That doesn't mean it's not there. That doesn't mean that what God's called you to right here isn't valid and purposeful. You may not get it all yet. You may not understand it all yet. But there is purpose. You have to trust those who you are with, who are following, and follow them sometimes. Like, I don't know why I'm going, but I'm going because this is what we're doing. And that's okay. Eventually, the Spirit is going to impart to you and go, you're going to go, oh, now I get it. But we all receive it and we all process it in different ways. So give it time. Don't say, well, I don't believe in that. I don't know why God's got me here. I'm going someplace else. If God hasn't called you away, you can't go away. Well, you can. That's your choice. You got that free will. But will that be obedience to God? Let me read this scripture too. I have this scripture over my desk in a little frame. And it has everything to do with me being patient, this active patience in my own life. In Habakkuk 2, it says this, record the vision and inscribe it on the tablets that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Let me read it in another version. That was the New American Standard, but I love this other word in here. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. This is the version I have over my desk. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false, though it linger. Wait for it. I love that. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. You see, God's not going to give us everything right away. The vision is a process. And God will give us each step and give us each part of it that we're supposed to be a part of. And then we'll run with it. Yes, Lord, we will do that. Because this is your vision in our heart that you've given us. And we're about what you want us to do, not about what we want us to do. There's an old story about three bricklayers that can help us see what it looks like when people receive motivation and take ownership of a vision. There were three bricklayers working beside each other on a wall. Someone came up to the first one and said, "What are you doing?" "What's it look like I'm doing?" He replied sarcastically, "I am laying bricks." The man asked the next guy on the wall what he was doing. He said, "Can't you see what I'm doing? I'm building a wall." Then the last man was asked what he was doing. He exclaimed, "I am building a great cathedral to God." Three different people on the same job. Their perspective was different in what they had committed to do. One said, "I'm just laying bricks." And one said, "Well, I'm building a wall." And the other said, "Mm-mm, I'm building a great cathedral to God because he's given that vision in my heart and there's something greater here going on." Who do you think will do the best quality work and be the hardest worker? Vision causes people to look at their work because they see the bigger picture. To one, it's just a job to get done. Whereas to another, with the right motivation, inspiration, and heart, it's building something that will last and benefit all those who participate in its building and for those who it's intended for. If you want to build a great ship, you can go out and find some talented craftsmen, or you can find a person who loves the sea. It's all the difference in how it's built, and in the manner in which it's built. Imparting God's vision to the team around us, the people around us, is the single most important factor in seeing the mission that God's called us to accomplish. The Bible says this in Proverbs 15, "Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed." We need everybody. Proverbs 16, "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." It's okay to make plans, but it's okay for plans to change because, you know, we might see differently sometimes than the Lord has planned. You know, we're not perfect as leaders. We're not perfect. So we may say, the Lord has given this plan, but here's how we think it should be done, and it may get changed a little bit. So flexibility, trust, faith, we're all still headed the same way, but it may change a little bit how we get there. Steps are your day in and day out walk with God. The step by step, moment by moment, hour by hour decisions you make and the things you do that take up your time and use your life for will get you to where God has called us to go or called you to go. When your vision is honestly birthed by God Himself, He will be delighted to direct your steps. But the question is, are you willing to let Him direct your steps? The Lord says, take this step. Oh, yeah, but Lord, I had planned to take this step over here because this is a little more fun. There's more people that I like to be with that are over here. This is my crowd, Lord. But Lord, if I take over here, I don't know anybody over here. These people aren't like me. But the Lord says, but this is the step that I need you to take. If you're really about my vision, if you're really about my plan, this is the step I need you to take. I know you can take this step. That's not growing. That's not faith. That's not trusting in me because you know that direction. You know what's going to happen. You know what's going to transpire. You know those people already. You know how they feel, how they look, how they work, their mannerisms. You know that already. I don't want you to go to what you know. I want you to know where, I want you to have faith. I want you to trust me and go where I've called you to go because I've got bigger plans than just you. You're a piece of this. But God says, I am this. We are God's church, so therefore it's our duty and it's our responsibility to see the vision accomplished by the mission we have been given. It's our duty. It's not Pastor Mike's duty. It's not Elder Tim's duty. It's not lay leaders. It's not just their duty. It's our combined corporate efforts, heart, body, going the same direction. It's our duty. You can't sit in a seat here and come every week and say, I'm a part of this church without being part of the vision. You can't be. You have to be a part of it if you're going to occupy a seat. You know, it's amazing what can be accomplished through people who don't get paid. What I'm saying is, like, when there's something that's created, and here's, I want to put this phrase in your head. I want you to listen to this. The Fountain Church, like you do other places when you have your organizations thing, the Fountain Church needs you to get in where you fit in. And everybody fits. We just got to find it. Now, I was a part of for about 8 years, I was a part of when my boys were playing basketball and sports when our kids were young, I was a part of a volunteer organization called the Mill Creek Basketball Association. We were in the Mill Creek District. And so I got kind of, by default, brought onto the board. And so I became a director of an age group in there, and I ended up being a director of a lot of age groups in there eventually. And I did that for 8 years. But let me tell you something, that whole organization, and it spurred on over 1,000 kids. Still today, it's got over 1,000 kids who play in that association, but it's all run by volunteers. It's all run by volunteers. You know, people were signing up and coaches. We never had a problem with getting coaches or having kids sign up for things. They wanted to be in there because they knew its purpose. They wanted to fulfill its purpose. They wanted to do it. And the coaches who were in there, they knew what they were supposed to do. Now, it takes somebody to keep them all together. As a director, it was my job that they did what they were supposed to do, the rules, not get out of control. You know, I had to have those conversations with them, but it was all volunteer. Gwinnett football. Like, Gwinnett football is one of the biggest football, recreational football leagues around in the United States. It's all run by volunteers. A lot of money is run through that, too. It's all run by volunteers. It's organized. There are directors, there are co-directors, there are coaches, there are assistant coaches, and there are players. There are team moms, there are team dads, there are trainers. It's all volunteer, and it's run well. They have a primary focus, a primary vision, and they attain that vision from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. Why is it so hard in the church? That's God's vehicle for reaching the world. Why is it so hard for us to get on board and go the same direction? It's not that we won't have hiccups. It's not that we won't have troubles. I mean, we're Christians. Grace is given, right? Grace is extended. Grace is given. But then it's got to be received, and we got to get back on board, get back in line with what God's called us to do. Everybody on the same page for the same vision. After this, I want to share one more thing for you. There's another thing. I'm kind of a little proud of it right now because they're in the midst of it. But there's a few of our kids are involved in a thing called Junior Theater or JTF Foundation or something like that. The initials are JTF. But my son Garrett is a part of that. He tried out for it and made it. It's a drama troupe that's been practicing here for the last 5 months. They come on Sunday afternoons and some other days, and they practice. They've been practicing for hours and weeks and months for one 15-minute performance. They're there this weekend at Cobb Galleria, and there's 5,000 people there that's involved in musical theater, and there were 80 teams, drama teams that were called in. Charlotte called me yesterday and said that our team that some of our kids are a part of, and it's made up of four different high schools, got called back out of 80 to perform this morning, five different schools, and they're one of the five that got to perform in front of 5,000 people today. I know it's a great thing, but what I say is this, it pays off. They spent hours preparing. They spent hours getting ready for 15 minutes. That's the world. We're the church. Sometimes we show up on the day we're supposed to teach children and we haven't even looked at the lesson. That we've got the lesson. Oh, I've got the lesson right here. They won't know the difference. Yeah, they may not know the difference here, but the difference is in here. Why we do what we do. What we put in is what God will use to reach those who need to get out of it. We have a volunteer appreciation lunch following this service for those who have registered, which is 51 of you, which I'm so thankful for. But we have at least 250 active people in the Fountain Church. Next time we have one of these, I'm praying that at least 250 people will be registered because they know what our mission is about and they're volunteering and they're giving of their time, their efforts, their gifts, their talents to be used of the Lord to reach people. And so the next one we have, I'm hoping for 250. Volunteers who are coming together to show appreciation and be thanked for what they've given to the Lord this year in accomplishing the vision that he has called us to. I want to read some scriptures, and then I want you to watch a video, and then we're going to close the service. Listen to these scriptures. Hebrews 6, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Proverbs 11, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. Luke 6, give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Mark 10, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. 1 Peter 4, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. Romans 12, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Galatians 6. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Ephesians 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Colossians 3, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you are serving is Christ. Matthew 25, and the king will say, I will tell you the truth. When you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Titus 3, there is trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. 1 Thessalonians 5, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. John 13, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. In Matthew 20, even as the Son of Man came to be served, or even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In Philippians 2, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord. I love that word. Are we in accord? And one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Can Jesus count on you? Can Jesus count on you to fulfill what your call is in this church? No matter if it's uncomfortable, no matter if you don't understand, no matter if it's out of your comfort zone, can he count on you to do what he's called you to do so that the Fountain Church, the vision that he's put on us, can be accomplished in 2018? I hope so.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he bring you peace. May he look into your life, and may he be gracious to you. God bless you. Have a great week.